welcome to the Conversations Podcast. We are continuing our series, Songs of Ascent, looking at the book of Psalms 120 through 134. And I'm joined by two special guests and good friends. First, we're joined by lead pastor Jose Abaroa. Jose,
good
welcome
morning,
to
the Taylor.
Podcast. And we're joined by the amazing prayer pastor, Rhonda Patterson. Rhonda, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Tyler. Glad to be here.
Well, we have a heavy topic amidst a heavy week, and I'm just so thankful for our church. I think about just even the three of us talking and just reflecting back on Uvalde and just certain tragedies and ways where we've changed some of what Sunday morning looks like in order to respond and lament. And it helps me as someone who typically loves to jump into the party side, the rejoicing side of rejoicing with those who rejoice, but we're also called to mourn with those who mourn. And so, Jose, with all of that context, we'd love to give you the first word, as we usually do, about kind of what God was teaching you throughout that week leading up to Sunday, and then even just the weekend going into it.
Yeah, Psalm 124, as I mentioned, Sunday was already on the docket. So I think God was graceful in that, where he had set before the word for that Sunday, and really looking at the context of where that psalm came from helped me shape the flow of Sunday. So my message really did change from what I originally planned on talking about, but everything that we needed was already there. And I love how God leads us truly by his word. We submit ourselves to the word of God. So it's very likely that the context of Psalm 124 is David responding to this story in 2 Samuel 5, where he's surrounded by trouble. He's surrounded by the Philistines. They're trying to overtake him. And the first thing that David does is he prays. He inquires of the Lord. That's what distinguishes him from Saul, the prior king. And I think that's what distinguishes us as the people of God. When trouble surrounds us, we need to pray. We need to go to God. What do you think, God? What do you say? And so I'll be honest, that was a hard thing for me the last week. How do we respond? We know what to do in many ways because we've done this before. But also, we don't just want to press the repeat button, God. What do you want us to do? And so anyway, after prayer, through conversations with various people, Rhonda, I called you. Taylor, I called you. It was very clear that God was laying out what we were to do as a church, and that's how we're going to respond. So we're mobilizing teams on Thursday to go help out with the devastation. We have received help 10 years ago. We know what it's like to be on the receiving end, and so what a gift it is to be on the giving end. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm going on, but I'll land here. Move is the next thing that David did. He moved in, and so we're moving. And then this third is really where I want to camp out for this conversation, is the praise. David praised God, but he praised God because he was delivered by the Philistines. So that's where there's tension for us, because we are praising in many ways while still mourning and while still holding a heavy heart. And I really do think that it's so important for us to remember that our faith is based on the victory that Christ has delivered us. He has already won the battle against death. We have been delivered, and therefore we can praise. I think about what Job said when everything was taken away from him, his home, his family, and he said, the Lord gives and he takes away. And then he praised and he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. So yeah, that's what was going on. And I tried my best to do that times three on Sunday morning.
Rhonda, would love to hear your thoughts on the Sunday and just everything that we're getting into, this concept of praising in the midst of tragedy.
Yeah, it's hard. And it can feel very awkward to be praising or being even joyful, because it doesn't feel like we should be, like we can praise with faith and hope and joy. That to me is it. We are not the burden bearer. He is. He can. We can. I could not serve as prayer pastor.
Yeah,
that's all right. These years and carry the prayer needs of the church and beyond if it was on me. Mm-hmm. So I pray, but we release. And that's it's both and at the same time. It's praying, releasing, praising, and it's a mystery, but there's so much power in it.
how would y'all answer this question? Because I think some people, I don't know whether, I've been thinking about this myself, whether this tragedy, it's because geographically it's closer, whether there was just a lot of kids involved, because we know that there's natural disasters that happen throughout the world that are really sad and devastating. And yet somehow, I think for a lot of us, this really hits home. This really just, it weighs even heavier on that. And so how would y'all encourage someone that just right now, as they're listening, they're feeling that heaviness? And so what wisdom is there in just acknowledging that to begin with before jumping to praise? And kind of how would y'all encourage someone that's
season? I want to talk more about praise, because we don't praise. I don't think Job was praising with a joyful heart necessarily when he was saying that after he lost his family.
Right.
He was just acknowledging truth. He was lifting up the reality of his faith in God and who he is. So sometimes that does come, that does fill us with joy. Mm-hmm. But other times that just sustains us to take our next breath. So I wanna put a pin on that. I really think, Taylor, that this was a trifecta. So the reason why this is so heavy for us is that, number one, we are close. We've also experienced this 10 years ago, not at this magnitude, but it does bring about brings back the trauma. I will say this, one of the names that signed up to go, she's no longer a little girl. She's now a young woman. And she was a little girl when this happened 10 years ago. And now she signed up to go help after we helped rebuild her home, her family's home. And so that just blessed me more to see how we really do respond. We give and now, or we receive and now we're giving. So I think that the proximity is one. I think the second thing is, it really is hard to fathom. We have 30 plus children that have perished in this tragedy. Mm-hmm. And when you look up and you say, God, how can you do this to 30 plus kids? That's a very common response to look up and say, God, if you are real, if you are good, how can you do this to children? And the third is closely tied to that. It was a Christian camp where most of these girls perished. Mm-hmm. And so, God, if you protect your own, if you are the one who is omnipresent and in control of all things, how can you allow this to happen to Christians? And so all those three, I think, really do stir up this heavy emotion that overwhelms us. And I also think it is a great opportunity for us to combat that with the reality of who God is. Because again, let's look at Job. We didn't talk about this on Sunday, but let's dive into this conversation. Job lost little children. Mm-hmm. Job lost his spouse. He didn't lose his spouse. He lost his home. And yet, he still said, blessed be the name of the Lord. So God did not change in his heart when his circumstances mm-hmm. change. And I think the thing for us to really anchor our faith in is when times are good, we praise God. We lift him up. And we say, you are good, you are holy, you are righteous, you remain the same. But if we can't do that when times are hard, then we're going to have a crisis of faith, because we're going to wonder, why is this, where is God in the midst of this? But when we learn how to praise God in the valleys, when we learn how God does not change in the valleys, that's when our faith really rises and we're able to praise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. And I agree with you, Jose. I was thinking about that myself, how we've heard of tragedies in other places, not just in America, but worldwide. And we feel sad or moved, but not like here. And mm-hmm. And it is proximity, because we have connections. We may know people, we may know people that know people, that kind of thing. But it makes me think back to the Acts 17 scripture where it talks about God chose our times to be here. That's and right. Our boundaries and where we would be. Why? So that we would seek him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so when these things happen, it's all about seeking him, leaning into him, looking for him. And it says, because he's not far from any of us. Mm-hmm. He's right here. He's right there in the midst of the tragedy. And he's okay with the questions. Yeah. Which I love that about the Psalms.
Yep.
Why, God? Why? You know, it's okay to ask and then trust.
that expectancy is so big. I think, Jose, I can't remember what you texted me yesterday, but you said something to the effect of like, God is going to be writing stories through this particular tragedy that we wouldn't even imagine.
Yeah, God's going to move in ways that we can't, mm-hmm. we can't expect. Like, we don't know how it's going to happen. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but that helped me, just even giving me an expectancy and just looking and searching and seeking God in those moments, because there's a lot of times that the truth is he's always working. He's always present. He's always around. But I think it's in moments like this where we can have a heightened awareness to look and to notice and be like, okay, God, where are you moving? Whether it's conversations you're having in your family or in your house related to this that are naturally going to, you know, gravitate towards God and who he is and in ways that you wouldn't have otherwise. There's just so many different avenues, but that seeking and that expectancy is a great first step.
It humbles even the brightest of people, because there's that reality that we don't have all the answers. We don't understand some things this side of heaven. Only God does.
Yeah, and that's why it leads people to the conclusion that God can't be real, and if he's real, what an unfair, unjust, angry God we must have to do something like this. Mm-hmm. I also think that this Psalm 124, it's speaking about a snare that's trapping, but we are not caught by the snare. We fly away like a bird. Psalm 124 talks about enemies trying to overcome us like a flood, but we escape. We flee, and we're not overcome by the enemies that are overwhelming us. Again, very likely that David is referring to his experience with the Philistines. You can also say that this was David running away from Saul. I mean, David knew trouble in his life. He experienced a lot of trouble. The point of that is that for us in our faith, we need to define what the snare is and who the enemies are. And I really think there are two that we need to watch out for: fear and death. And a lot of the times those are combined, the fear of death. Mm-hmm. So when we look at, okay, how did God release us from death? How did God release us or free us from fear? Fear, we can combat fear with faith. Mm-hmm. If we're afraid of anything, and we look up and we say, God, this is horrible. I'm deathly afraid. The most repeated phrase in scripture is what? Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I've called you by name, you are mine. Mm-hmm. I mean, God, in our fear, we need to have faith that he is present, that he's not far away, he's close by. And then the second thing is death. If we have faith in Jesus, who resurrected from the dead and has now given us resurrection power, what do we have to fear? There's nothing that we have to fear. That's why the greats and our leaders in the early church, they were not afraid to die. They gave their lives for the cause of Christ. So again, this is a journey. We don't just get there overnight and say, okay, I'm there. Mm. I think in tragedy, we have an opportunity to assess, where's our faith? Mm-hmm. And what are we really afraid of? And then look up and say, God, I'm here. Help me. I don't want to stay here. I don't want to be frozen by fear. I don't want to be caught in the snare. I don't want to be afraid of death. And when we allow God into those places, he gives us his perspective. He gives us his grace. He shows us how close he is. And ultimately, again, our faith is rooted in what Jesus Christ has done for us. He defeated death. He has overcome, death not only for him, but he's given us that gift.
Mm, yeah.
How would y'all encourage someone, just it feels like they're going through a roller coaster right now, because they may get to points where they feel like, okay, I feel good, I want to praise, and then maybe that's in the morning, and by the end of the day, they either see another clip, or they just think about something, or have a moment. I was talking to a mom dropping off her son for Camp Eagle yesterday, and I was asking her just how she's been in the process leading up to that, and she said, it's been rough. She said, I woke up this morning feeling really good and at peace, but then by the afternoon, she was back just feeling a combination of, you know, releasing her son to Camp Eagle, but also the sense of just grieving these families and the loss here. And so just even, I'd love for y'all to speak to that particular nature of it, where I'm such a linear person, so I would love to get the grief part out of the way first and then be able to be fine, but that's not how it works. And there's times where even just in the midst of a day, you're kind of back and forth in different ways emotionally with this. So as we seek to praise God consistently and faithfully throughout all seasons, how do y'all navigate that just personally and encourage someone that's feeling that?
I think of Job again. Mm-hmm. What did Job's friends do? They just talked to him and said, hey, it must be something that you've done. So they really personalized this and said, this is about you. And whereas what Job needed was what his friends started doing, and that is just sitting with him in silence. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they sat with him enough. And so I think, Taylor, that for us, we need to sit with people in grief. And I'm talking about a lot of truth right now. I'm not able to sit with everybody that's listening. And so I would encourage, find people that can sit with you when you're feeling those valleys, when you're overcome by emotion. Draw near to people that share your faith so that they can sit with you. Mm-hmm. And maybe if you need, hey, mm-hmm. help me with this issue. God has, I'll say this, in the last 3 days, God has put me close to a family that's going through a really hard time, and it wasn't my plan. I was not planning on seeing this family twice in the last 3 days. That's God placing me in their calendar through our children and other things going on. So that's God. God's putting us in places so that we can be surrounded by people so that they can sit with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will be with you in the waters. They will not overwhelm you. I think about just thinking about the flood or an earthquake, you know, these kind of natural events. There's this, the big deluge, the river coming down and the waters rising and all of that. And then the waters begin to recede. But the shocks and the aftermath and the way that it affects people over a period of time, weeks, months, depending on mm-hmm. what your losses were and that kind of thing, that I think that subsides gradually. And so in these first initial days, there's just a lot of roller coaster, like you said, Taylor, of just that feeling of up and down, like I feel better, I feel stronger, I've played some praise music, I'm doing better. But then 2 hours later, I'm kind of slipping again. And so I think some of that's just that aftermath. And things needing to settle again, and we thrive on routines and, mm-hmm. and all of that. So just know that you're okay. You are okay in that. It is important and good to reach out and have people that can pray with you, pray for you. But praise music. Just continue when you can, as soon as you can. If you're out and about and you're feeling that, but you're struggling, when you get home, you know, sit with the Lord, and it begins to subside over time, just that roller coaster, I would say.
Last night we were talking at the worship and prayer night. The timing of that was just seemed mm-hmm. perfect, as far as to be able to chance to come together as a church family, and just hearing from people that was something that was heavy on their heart coming into that night. Mm-hmm. We were talking afterwards. I'd love for you to share just a little bit of what we were talking about. I won't ask you to sing the song.
No, I won't sing it. I wish I had thought of it before and asked our wonderful worship leaders if they could do it. But there's a song called Garments of Praise by Robin Mark or Marks. And you can look it up. It's a beautiful song. It's an older worship song, but it's from Isaiah 61:3, where it says, that he comforts all who mourn and provides for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness.
It's good. It's really
or
good.
Despair. That's another translation. And so there's something in that. And I heard recently, I don't know, some study or whatever, about how humming or singing squelches anxiety and fear.
Yeah, cortisol levels.
I love when science catches up to what God's word has been saying for a long time, mm-hmm. because there's truth in that. And so I can't stress that enough. That having even just instrumental worship music playing in your home, things like that are just really important, because it cuts through the airways and the heaviness, and it's the Lord ministering.
Jose, there's both a individual aspect that I know you spoke to as far as on Sunday and just how we ourselves process grief and praise God, but then I'd love for you to speak to the value of the collective response as far as the collective praise as a church, and then just everything you talked about, the pray, move in, and praise, and just what significant, how significant is that just as a church family that we do that together?
Yeah, there's no, again, looking at these stories of old that are in the Old Testament are beautiful. How did the Jericho walls fall? It wasn't by strength. It was through praise. That's the power of our faith. When we move forward, knowing who God is and what he can do, there's nothing that can stop him. We're going to do what he does. If he stops us, if we're not able to do X, Y, or Z, we won't if he doesn't want us to. And so that's how we're going to respond. We're responding in faith. We're moving in as a church family, collectively, to be a part of the solution. I, again, 10 years ago, really grateful for most of the organizations that landed in our parking lot. I'd be lying if I said all. Another story for another day. But no one can out-local the local church. The local church has the best resource that can help people, and that is people. People hurt people and people heal people. That's how God designed it. So we hurt one another, and we can also help and heal one another. And so I know, to your point about these stories that God will be writing in the next weeks, I know that God will be healing people through our presence. Not only our presence, many other churches that are mobilizing, many Christians that are on the ground through various different organizations. And that's what God also wants to do. He wants to bring beauty out of ashes. He wants to show, I think about the older woman that was holding on to a tree, 10 years ago, and she was found praising God. That's how the boats that rescued her here in Wimberley found her. She was praising God. I think of stories like that, and I know that there's going to be so many wonderful stories of redemption, restoration, healing through this, and that's why we're going. We want to be a part of that solution. So thank you guys for the conversation. I feel like we scratched the surface, but really looking forward to see what God does.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.